Our scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Please rise as we read the word of God. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." This is a reading from the gospel. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, if you could have anything you wanted in life, what would it be? If someone granted you a wish that you could have one thing, what is it that you would wish for? When I was a kid, we used to dream about this and play a game among the brothers and sisters of my family. And we'd always say, if you could have one wish, what would you wish for? And I'd always say the same thing. I'd say, I wish I had a wish whenever I wanted a wish, right? Whenever I wanted something, I wish that I could have that one thing. That's what I would wish for. And my brothers and sisters would say, that isn't the way the game's played. You have to pick something. And so I'd say, well, then I wish I had a lamp that when you rub the lamp, the genie came out and he would give you a wish. Now that doesn't exist. But we love to dream, don't we? We love to think about what it is that we would wish for. What would you wish for? If you could have anything in this world, what would it be? We're on the 1 year anniversary of a year ago, we started this campaign called Build Your Kingdom Here. And we've got lots of things going on. We've got a building up. We're making a few changes. But it is truly all about the kingdom of God. And it is worth our time to spend some time during the month of September talking about the kingdom of God and what it is. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say about the kingdom of God? And this morning, Jesus tells a parable, and he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like man who goes into the field and he finds a treasure. And seeing this treasure, he puts it back in the field. He goes home, sells everything he owns, and then he buys the field. Aren't you curious to know what that treasure was? What was it that he found in the field? You know, my father, as we were growing up, would say, David, there are three things you need in life to be happy. This is when I was a little kid. He'd say, you need money, you need time, and you need health. If you have those three things, then life will be pretty good to you. And the problem is that we don't always manage our time and our money and our health very well, do we? As a matter of fact, I would say that we're pretty terrible at, well, let me put it, I'm pretty terrible at it. I'm not even going to say anything about you. I'm pretty terrible about it. What if somebody every day, and this is somebody you know that loves you very much, every day gave you $86,400. And the only thing is that it would be gone at the end of the day, so you had to spend it. And the next day you'd get another $86,400, but you had to spend it. What would you spend it on? Well, in kind of a way, each of us are given 86,400 somethings, and it's called seconds. And what are you going to do with the 86,400 seconds you're given every day? And are you using those time wisely? Or are you spending that, I shouldn't say you, am I spending that time wisely? Am I spending that time on things that are really good? Or am I spending that time on things that I probably shouldn't spend my time on? If I had just enough time, you've heard it so many times, man, I just wish I had one more thing, one more second, one more hour to get this one thing done. And yet, every day, we're given 86,400 seconds. Do we use it wisely? Or perhaps money. All of us want more money, right? Jesus, I am told, talked about money more than he talked about any other topic. It was very near and dear to his heart. And if you have money, you can buy things. It's a wonderful thing. When I was a kid, this was another thing we used to do besides think about what we could own if we have one wish. is when we went on long trips, we played a game called the magazine game. Have you ever heard of this game? Now everybody, you know, watches TV or does something like that when they're on long trips. But when we were on long trips, we didn't have TVs that we could have in our station wagon. So my sister and I would sit in the very, very back seat of the station wagon, probably unbuckled, so it's amazing we're alive. And we would set a magazine in front of us. And we would turn the pages of the magazine. And whatever ended up on my page, on my lap, well, that's something I was going to get. And anything that was on her lap, well, that's something that she would get. And so we would flip through the pages, and I would get all the things on the left-hand side because I always sat on the left because I don't know if you know much about magazines, but they always put the ads on the left-hand side, and they start articles on the right-hand side. So there's more cool stuff on the left-hand side than there is on the right-hand side. And she was 2 years younger than me, and she hadn't figured it out yet. So I always got the really, really cool stuff. And she always got, like, words and things like that. But she was still happy with the things that she did. And we paged through the magazine. And very, very much at a young age, we were becoming consumer Americans, finding things that we absolutely have that we couldn't live without, that someday when we had enough money and enough dreams and enough wishes, we could have those things. But the fact is, none of us have enough money. None of us have enough time. What about health? You know, we could all use a little bit better health. I'm sure that many of you think that health is nothing you have control over, but that's not quite true, is it? We know we can all eat better. We can all prepare better food. We can maybe do some exercise. There are things we can do to improve our health so that when we have money and time, we also have health and we can enjoy it. The problem is, as you all know, is that all three of those things are so interrelated that if you spend too much time on one thing, you're probably not spending enough time on the other two. And your whole life can get completely out of whack. And you know people like this, people who spend so much time at work trying to earn money that when they get home, they're exhausted and they're sick and they have no other time and they fall asleep exhausted and everything is just out of whack. What's interesting about Jesus is I don't think he had any of those things. I mean, he had pretty good health, but I don't think he spent an enormous amount of time on his health. Jesus didn't seem to be too concerned about time. He always had time. And he certainly didn't have money. They didn't walk around with a lot of money, the disciples. It reminds me of a song from the 70s. I don't know if you know this song. It was called The Cat's in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. He would say, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. It's a song about a boy who just wants to spend time with his dad. And his dad's like, later, 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 and all of a sudden the son grows up and the dad now wants to spend time with his boy. And the boy says, well, Dad, I just don't have time. Maybe we can do that later. How many of us have been convicted by that song in our life? But not Jesus. No, the treasure that Jesus talked about in the field was probably not money or time or good health. It was probably something else. If you look at the life of Jesus, what did he spend his time on? And you know the answer. He spent his time on relationships. To him, relationships were more important than anything else. If you can spend your time on relationships, you will fill your life with joy and happiness. How many of you go out with some friends or you're out with your family and you're just enjoying each other's time and you realize that that is so much more important than money or time or health or any of those things because relationships fill us at a level that nothing else can. That's why I think Jesus spent all his time on relationships. Jesus kind of put everything else aside and he found people and he just spent time building relationships. He would be walking along and he'd see somebody and he'd stop and he'd just sit down and he'd carry on a conversation. He'd build a relationship with that person. Relationships are so much more important than anything else that you can buy with your time or your money. That's one of the great things about a church. It says in Acts 2:42 that the early church gathered together for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship, breaking the bread, and prayer. And one of the reasons why churches exist is so that we can develop relationships, because it's so important. Some people develop relationships with their families, which is wonderful, but sometimes people don't have families. Sometimes our families grow up and go off to college and never come home again. So you have to find other places to fill that void for relationships in your heart. Relationships are so important. They're important for your health too. Leonard Sim, the professor of epidemiology at the University of California, Berkeley, said that the importance of social ties and social support system in our relationships is related to mortality and disease rates. He points to Japan as being number one in the world with respect to health, and then discusses the close social, cultural, and traditional ties that that country has, and says that's a big part of the reason why they have such good health. And he believes that the more social ties, the better the health, and the lower the death rate. Conversely, he indicates that the more isolated the person, the poorer the health, and the higher the death rate. Social ties are good prevention medicine for physical problems and for mental, emotional, behavioral problems. So while you are all here this morning, you're helping each other with your health. That's wonderful. And it is so unlike Ebenezer Scrooge. You know who he is, right? The guy who had all the money in the world and was so happy to have all that money, but he locked himself up all alone, just counting his money, without any social relationships whatsoever. No, relationships trump all those things. But that's not what the parable is about. It's not about relationships. It is about a certain relationship. Listen again to the parable. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. You know, Jesus never tells us specifically what the kingdom is. He just gives parables about what it's like. And I always found that strange. Jesus just tells us what the kingdom is, but he tells us parables. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. And when you realize that treasure, you're willing to sacrifice and give up everything you have to go and buy that treasure. It is that valuable. And it's not just relationships with other people. It is a relationship with the creator of the universe. It is one relationship, and that is a relationship with Jesus. A relationship that you have with the King of the universe. A relationship that you know that he loves you so much that every day he loves you and cares for you and gives you everything you need for that day. That is the treasure. Jesus says that it is so valuable you'd be willing to give up everything. You'd be willing to give up your time. You'd be willing to give up your money. You'd be willing to give up your health. You would be willing to do anything just to have this one thing in your hands. And what is that one thing? It's simply Jesus. But it's Jesus that grows in you day after day, month after month, second after second, year after year, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you and cares for you and he's with you no matter what. And getting to that point is the treasure. You're like, how can I have that treasure? Let me tell you, folks, you can't buy it. No matter how much time you have, no matter how much money you have, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how many friends and relationships you have, it cannot be purchased. But it's okay. It was free. It was purchased for you by God who became flesh and dwelt among us to purchase your life so that you could be in a relationship with God and know the great treasure that he is in your life. But it doesn't always seem like he's the treasure. It is something that builds in your life. The kingdom as we said, is like a seed that's planted in you, and it grows and it gets branches and fruit and bears fruit and bears fruit, and the roots get bigger, and pretty soon you are a strong tree and you understand what the treasure is. And the treasure is God. And the more you know that the treasure is God and how much He lives in your life, the more you'd be willing to sacrifice anything to have that treasure. So how do you get it? Well, of course, the seed is planted in you. But one of the ways is to spend some of your time or your money or your health or something within you to serve God and to get a little taste, a little glimpse of what it's like to be in the kingdom. How many times have you seen somebody that serves and does something outside of themselves and they're like, that was really cool? And you say, yeah, but it gets a whole lot more cooler than that. Why don't you do this or this and build your faith in these ways? Why don't you give up this for the sake of the kingdom? That, my friends, is being close to the kingdom of God. But then you can start building relationships with other Christians and start building those strong relationships that help build your faith and put your roots deep. Let other Christians guide you and direct you into the words and the ways of Jesus and build your faith in that way. That starts to build your faith. And you begin to get little glimpses of what it's like to see the kingdom of God. You are close to the kingdom. Then maybe you start to build relationships with people that don't know Jesus, and you start to teach them about what it's like to be a life in the kingdom. And so they can begin to see a glimpse, and they not only see a glimpse of the kingdom, but you also build your faith in the kingdom of God. And then you begin to see Jesus in ways you've never seen before, and He begins to operate and work in your life, and your faith begins to get deep and strong. And you can be like the Apostle Paul. You know, at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul was in prison. And he's writing letters in prison. Now, sometimes it was under house arrest, which wasn't too bad. People could come and be with him and all sorts of things. But there were many, many times when Paul was in prison, in a brutal Roman prison that didn't have great conditions. And what does Paul say? He says, peace be with you, joy be with you. He says, everything I possibly need in this world is with me right here. You say, Paul, how's that possible? You didn't have any money, you didn't have any time. Well, you had lots of time. You didn't have any health. I'm sure your health was horrible. The relationships, they're all depleted because you're stuck in a prison all by yourself. And Paul says, yeah, but I have one relationship still. And as long as I have that one relationship, as long as I know that I am part of the kingdom, as long as I know that Jesus came down and loves me no matter where I am, and I can serve Him no matter what the circumstance, no matter how much time I have, no matter how much health I have, no matter how much money I have, as long as I'm in that relationship, I have everything I need. I need nothing else. My prayer for all of us is that we grow to the faith that Paul had, that we grow to the faith that Luther had, that we grow to the faith that many Christians throughout history have had, where they didn't need anything else. As long as they had Jesus, the King of the universe, in their life, loving them, as long as they knew who they were and whose they were, that was all that they needed. That, my friends, is the treasure. I remember as a kid, they sang this song on the radio called One Tin Soldier. I don't know if you know that song, One Tin Soldier. And they have a treasure up on the mountain. And the people in the valley want the treasure on the mountain. So they fight this battle, and the people in the valley come up onto the mountain. And they open up the treasure, right? And is it gold? Is it silver? Is it relationships? Nah, it's just a saying that says peace on earth, right? So they kill for that. It's a great song. I don't know if you young people do not know that song. You need to find out that song. That's the part of the treasure. That's a glimpse of the treasure. In 1922, Rhea Miller wrote a song about her encounter with the treasure. She said this. She said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead. My prayer for all of us is this. You've been redeemed and bought and purchased by the creator of the universe that loves you more than anything. There is really nothing else in this life that you need. As long as you have Jesus, which you all do, that truly is all that any of us truly need. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, you truly are everything that we ever need. Lord, our prayer is that we would know you so well that you dwell in our life, in our hearts so much that we are like so many of the saints before us, that simply that is all that they ever need. It's all that they ever hope for. Lord, for we know that when that is center in our life, everything else falls into place. We pray this because you became flesh and dwelt among us and bought us with your own precious blood. In your name we pray. Amen.